You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with Timothy, the creator of Sextronaut.
Hello, curious fuckers. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and together we're Come Curious.
When we're not just fucking around on YouTube and Instagram.
Every Thursday we invite a new guest onto Fucks Given to talk about their best fucks, worst fucks.
And the fucks that made them.
We also answer your sex questions and read out your sex stories.
So stay tuned as we divulge all the delicious details.
Hey Timothy. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having
Thanksgiving.
Me.
Hey, so excited. Woo woo.
Hello.
All the way from the Netherlands, which is crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And also we're just super excited to get a guy on the podcast. We don't often have a males on the podcast.
Okay.
Timothy, please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, so my name is Timothy Schelhaas. I'm 24 years old. I'm Dutch. I study creative writing in Wales at Bangor University. And I am a sex-positive writer and illustrator. And my main work is on the Sextronaut comic series and merchandise, which features a pink astronaut, and it's all about sex positivity and sex positive messages, satire. It's a bunch of laughs, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I do.
That's so amazing. Good. Timothy was nice enough to send us some 2 t-shirts with the infamous pink astronaut on, saying,
"I love
fuck
it.
Your way to outer space," or
yes.
Something like that. Right? Did I get that right?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. So you got to check out the Instagram because the comics and the illustrations, they're so cool, guys.
How did you get like interested in doing comics, but then also making it into a sex positive comic?
Okay, so this is actually a thing because I've been working on comics for a really long time. Mm-hmm. When I was, 10 years old or something, I was really in the house a lot. I didn't have a lot of friends at the time. So I was really like drawing all the time and working on comics. And eventually I participated in the Dutch Youth Championship for comic drawing. And I lost.
Oh, no.
I was 11. And I lost. But when I was 12, I participated again and I won.
Oh, so,
yeah.
Congrats.
Hell yeah.
It was really interesting just being on display when you're so young, I guess. But then I stopped for a long time because I after I won, I got some assignments from like local newspapers. But even for my age, they just didn't pay me enough to leave me wanting to create more work for them. So I think it was like 20 euros each assignment. It was not really anything I could do anything with. So I stopped doing it, and then I focused on other stuff for a long time, other forms of art. And then eventually last year I moved to Wales to start my writing degree. And then I was really thinking about, okay, how can I get my stuff towards an international audience? Like, what am I going to do? Because I have nothing going on at the moment. Mm. And I really want to get myself out there. And one of the things that I have to deal with is that I'm not English. So there's always going to be a language gap, even though, it's always going to be difficult to properly pronounce stuff or just to internalize all the slang. So, yeah. I want to know all the curse words, honestly.
That's the best bit about any language.
Yeah.
I know, right? So, yeah, I was just like thinking, okay, I still know how to draw. You know, I never lost that ability. Can I combine my current writing with comics or illustrations, or how am I going to do this? So I think like a year ago, I started to draw again after quitting that for, I think, about 8 years. It was really a long time. So when the Sextronaut was created, was at this, there was a period in my life where I just had like a bunch of personal developments going on. So I learned a bunch of things about myself after coming out of a few relationships. And I was just like, okay, you know what? I gotta be honest to myself. I suppose I'm a sexual person. So I really think that's something that is, you know, valuable to whatever you're doing with someone. So I, honestly, before that, I wasn't even clearly communicating that. I wasn't so I really was hiding it, I think, because I was really like, okay, I don't know how to talk about it. And but at this point, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? Okay, wait. I'm thinking there was this moment when I knew I was going to do something with sex. I think it was at this, you know, there's like a day every university organizes it where a bunch of like people, like companies, they stall their booths there and you could just come on to them and ask questions. How do you call that?
Like Freshers Week.
I think.
Like careers fair or something
like that. Yeah.
Something like it. And there was this company that was handing out condoms and they didn't have anything like on offer, like there were no jobs on offer, but I just approached them like, oh, this is so interesting, you know, do you guys hire students to do this kind of work? And they were like, whoa, no one ever asked us that. let me see what I can do. And they gave me their email address and they never replied to my email. But I was fine because I reached out to them. I was, for a while, I was so excited, like, yo, maybe I'm going to work for this condom company, that later on I was like, wait, I'm actually really excited about this stuff. I think it's so important that sexual education is a big thing. Like, I realized, okay, sex is such an important asset to who I am. Why not create something in terms of art? What am I going to do with this? And then I thought of this pink astronaut at some point. I was just like, I was blown away of this idea. Like, I knew it was going to work. It was simple. The color was interesting. Yes. People are going to be like, what's that pink astronaut doing on my screen right now? I'm not going to be scrolling past this. Maybe I'm going to check this out or something. So I designed that. And then I came up with the name, like, Sextronaut. And I was like, okay, this is really stupid, but maybe it's also genius. So I'm going to keep it.
Yes.
Fuck number one.
The last fuck.
My last fuck, you guys. Okay.
It's okay, like, it's lockdown.
Okay. So yeah, obviously, you know, my girlfriend is gone for a while, so you just end up masturbating. Yeah, I mean, what can I say about it?
It's like, I live to masturbate, basically. That is life now. Lockdown masturbation.
I mean, I'm actually personally bored of masturbation during quarantine. Mm. I'm just like, this has just gone so long. I masturbated so much, and like, just, I think it's also the fact that we're working from home. We could literally masturbate whenever we want, so it's not exactly very special anymore.
You're so right.
It's hard to like shake it up.
It really is. Like, I've definitely like, especially since, because I stayed with Florence for the past week, which was really lovely. But normally when I'm away, I just want to masturbate all the time. And on top of that, it was while I was on my period or pre-period, barely masturbated. I think I masturbated twice in like the 10 days I was away.
Which is mad.
That's not me. Even though I'm home and I have the opportunity, I'm like, my vagina, my pussy's died. It's just like so unhappy.
I'm usually like masturbating every single day. I'm saying this, and I know I've masturbated today already and last night, but you know.
Same. Same here. I masturbate every day, so I don't know.
Yeah,
it's healthy.
You need sort of release.
Yeah, and you need the serotonin levels and like the release and the. It's very grounding if you can masturbate correctly.
Correctly.
Like, without like no correct with your way. Mind. No, there is no correct way. As in, like, masturbate well, you know, when your mind isn't going off into other places, because corona times, like, ooh, isolation,
mindful
times,
masturbation
masturbate, you know, you do your deep breathing, you get into the mood. See, oh, that sounds great, why don't we do that more often? That sounds perfect for our mind and mental health.
Can I ask a really personal question?
Sure.
What is your favorite way to masturbate? Like, because when I think about it, I don't think we hear often how guys actually masturbate, because we think like it's just the hand, but is there more to it?
As far as I'm aware, you know, I'm seeing a lot of content about masturbation online, but it's primarily focused on
females.
Women.
Yes,
females. I do know that, you know, guys often use their hands, and what I've been hearing is that people also use lotion. I don't even know how that works. I never done that. And
what? You've never used lotion?
Something else.
Oh my god, you
like...
need to masturbate with coconut oil. That will change your life.
Okay, I mean, I'm down to try new things, you guys. Definitely, yeah, definitely during COVID. So, yeah. Okay. No, like, I'm so basic. I don't really use anything or something. But I know that some guys, like, use that flashlight. I have nothing against that
use
stuff.
Toys.
But it, for me, I don't know.
Just I mean, hand. I think you just haven't, you just got to give it a go. You never knock anything until you try it once. Because there's so much more to male masturbation than we know about. Because there's all this bad stigma around men using sex toys, which we think is totally fucked up. Like, it's cool for women to use sex toys. But as soon as a man has a sex toy, you're like, oh, no, that's weird, which is really wrong.
Because
there are so many sex toys for men, you know, that you've got masturbators, you have anal toys, you have like so many different types of lubes and pocket pussies and sleeves to try out. There's, I mean, I feel like I want to send you some toys just so you can like have a go at least.
I totally think you're right. Yeah, I think like in terms of exploration of sex, I don't know, it sometimes feels like there's more content out there for women, which I totally understand. But yeah, like sex toys on men is definitely not something that's often touched upon.
I also think it's to do with porn and what your preferences are, because when you say, for example, you go on like a big tube site like Pornhub, then you start looking at porn and it notices whether you're looking at straight porn or gay porn. So if you're looking at straight porn, you won't see the gay porn there, and that pisses me off, because a lot of straight porn comes up for me, but I want to see all different types of porn, and I sometimes have to specifically search for gay porn. And in gay porn, you do see a lot of masturbating and usage of toys, which I fucking love. Like, I love the like, I'm really into the milking machines for guys at the moment. Like, I really love that.
Milking machines?
Yeah,
I never heard of that.
They are quite...
What is that? Like something on your dick or something?
That's intense, though. This isn't for beginners.
Yeah, this isn't really... It's more like BDSM kind of porn.
I don't know if I would want to try it, but no. It sounds like a cool innovation, honestly.
Fuck 2. The first fuck.
I know that a lot of people have like these big stories about how shitty it was, or how I don't know how interesting it was, the whole endeavor of it. But I was fairly young. I think I was 16. I think I had just turned 16. I don't really remember that much of it. I only remember that, you know, as I never had sexual education, I didn't really know how to put on the condom.
Yeah.
I got as far as knowing as, okay, I am going to need this condom. And I remember that I just had a lot of time. I just had a lot of trouble putting it on. So that was also, I think, a turnoff. And the first time for me actually hurt. I don't really recall why. I assume it's because I might have turned on the condom incorrectly or something. But I remember that I was the one who was like, okay, I'm not enjoying this. I don't know. She was quite into it, I believe. I don't know, actually. But she didn't have any pain, I remember.
Interesting. I wonder if it's to do with, like, the tightness of your foreskin. Wait, European. I was going to say foreskin.
Well, I mean, maybe, maybe not. Do you mind if we ask if you have a foreskin?
I have a foreskin, yeah.
Yes, baby. not shitting on anyone who doesn't have a foreskin. That's totally cool. We're very lucky in Europe in that it's not common to remove the foreskin.
I think it's actually really disturbing that I mean, it's so normalized, obviously, cutting that part off of a young boy, but I believe that's actually a very disturbing act at this age should not exist.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it's a form of genital mutilation, so...
It is, yeah. We had a really good episode with Riyad, which you guys please listen back to, where he talks about his circumcision, and the way he talks about it is just so interesting and amazing, and he's so angry about it because it happened to him without his consent when he was a kid, and he's just, like, pissed off about it, which is totally understandable.
What I was thinking was that maybe it was, like, the... I guess when you aren't used to sex, like, your skin is a little bit tighter in certain places.
Yeah.
So I was wondering maybe if it could be the foreskin being tight that, like, made the pain, or I guess
potentially,
it could have been the condom though as well.
Yeah, condom, and also if it was the first time for her as well? Do you know?
Yeah, it was both of us.
So she, even though she was enjoying it, like, most girls don't realize that it's okay to use lube, because when you're that nervous, you can't create lubrication for yourself. So it could just be that the condom could have just, it could have been really dry and too much friction, and that could have just been really hard for you guys to continue. And we just, we're not, why are we not taught that? If everyone, if every kid got like a little virginity kit with like a couple of condoms and a packet of lube, and like, these are okay to use together and it's cool to use lube. Fuck me, we could have had great first time experiences.
I love that idea so much. Oh my God. I can see an illustration of this, the virginity kit. Oh my God.
Yes, do it. We'll do like a collab.
Yeah,
become curious and sextronaut.
Oh my god, let's do a collab. Oh my god, I'm down.
Oh yes, please, 100%. That'd be amazing.
It's crazy though, because like the lube thing is actually could be a full on game changer for so many people's virginity stories, because you wouldn't have the pain with lube. Like maybe there would be a tiny bit, but like it wouldn't be the same. It would just, it wouldn't. And like I remember when I was younger, I just used to think lube. People joked about lube. They were like, oh, it's for like old ladies and like when their vaginas dry up when they get old. And so like using lube was like, oh god, that's embarrassing.
Yeah,
I remember the first time
we're young, we're hip.
The first time a guy like got out the lube to use with me, I was actually offended.
Yeah, which is mad, because sex is so much better with lube. Doesn't matter what age you are, it is just, it is a life-changing. Oh god, I wish, the amount of times that I wish I had lube or was cool with lube back then. So many unfortunate sex experiences that just could have been so like slick and fun. And this is what we're missing in schools. We need this virginity kit to be like, okay, you need this, this and this to make it a fun occasion. So what
happened, like when, I guess when you were experiencing the pain during your first time, did you just sort of like stop? Was what happened after?
I have no idea, like it's all really vague. I don't know, like, I can't really, like, when people are talking about their first time, I'm always like, I don't really remember that much of it, so
I just don't know.
But I do remember something else about my childhood, is that I just started having sex regularly with this girl I was with at the time, and I didn't really have, you know, a lot of money at that age, so I actually could not buy, I could not afford the condoms that, you know, you have, you need for sex. So sometimes we had to be like, we had to schedule it like, okay, this time, you know, I can afford it, so I'll buy it. The terrible thing was also like my parents, they actually, before all that stuff happened, they actually offered to buy it for me, but I was so ashamed to ask them for condoms, so I didn't do it. So I took all that responsibility. I was always the one to buy them and to go to the store and everything. And
that's a lot of pressure as well, because it's
so
like
sweet.
You know, women should be buying condoms too. It's not for the men, you know. It's not your responsibility. Or at least
I totally agree.
Any parents out there, don't ask your kid if they want any. Just buy them some.
Yes.
Leave them in their room. Little present.
That's little box. It. Because your kid is never going to be like, yes, please give me all the condoms.
They should buy like a big box and then watch it and restock it if it just like magically disappears, just, you know, like the contents.
It's like the cookie jar in the kitchen where like if it goes down, like restock the cookie jar.
I'm definitely gonna do this when I'm a parent. I'll definitely talk to them about it, but it's so dreadful to talk with your parents about sex sometimes, you know. It really depends on, you know, my parents are lovely, like, so it's
Honestly. There should just be an open dialogue with your kids anyway. I'm really surprised. In the Netherlands, is there not like, you know, sexual health clinics or where you can just get free condoms at any age?
I believe so, yes. But, you know, when I was younger, I don't believe internet was as accessible as today. So I didn't really know how to look that stuff up.
And it's,
you know,
scary.
Things were different. It wasn't even that long ago, but things were so different. And I didn't really have the resources, I think, but also not the knowledge that these things existed, because it depends on the school if that content actually reaches you, you know. So it's definitely sex education is such a problem. I mean, I know that in Romania, they just stopped giving sex education. And I know that in the UK, you can still withdraw your children from sex education.
Yeah, you can. It's so scary.
I think that's ridiculous.
It's so stupid.
Sex is such a fundamental part of the human experience. How are you going to deny children to know about their bodies, you know?
Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for sex. So how could you then take away the education to do with how we ended up on this planet? It doesn't make any sense.
We always thought that the Netherlands were, I mean, we think that the Netherlands is always like
Scandinavian
pretty...
countries though.
Yeah, that's true. But I always heard that the Netherlands are like pretty up there as well with their sex ed. And I mean,
not as far as I'm aware, no, but I think that a lot of people have this idea that the Netherlands is better or something, but I wouldn't say generally the Netherlands is better. I know that Sweden is definitely better than everyone, but
better than everyone. The Netherlands,
I guess in terms of, I don't know, their social stuff, their healthcare and everything.
Unlike Switzerland and the Scandi countries. Denmark and stuff. Like they're supposed to be, because they're, I mean, we've heard, can anyone from those countries tell us what age that they have their sex ed taught at? Because we've heard that it's from the ages of 3 and 4, which we think's fucking magical and so important. Anyone out there from any other country that wants to talk about their sex ed and everything, like, please DM us. We'll get you on the podcast. We want to talk about it.
Fuck 3. The best fuck.
I honestly could not say. Like, I could not. I feel like I have a good sex life right now. I don't want to get into too much details, but you know, it's good. I would say it's the best that I ever had in my life. But I wouldn't really say this time was so amazing. You know, we were on a boat or something. I had never had sex on a boat, by the way. But I don't know.
not going into detail, but like, what makes it so much better with this partner?
The fact that I really know how to communicate, like, before I entered this relationship, by the way, it was also a thing before this one, like a while back, I realized, okay, I really think sex is such a valuable part of a relationship. And, once I really understood that within myself, like, okay, if I'm going to be with a girl who's not going to be as interested in sex as I am, then I just know it's not going to work. Like, I mean, totally, you know, everybody has a different sex life, sex drive, and it's totally normal to want different things. But I know that when I'm with someone that, you know, doesn't think it's as interesting as I do, I know that in time, it's just not going to work.
Oh, smart
either
boy.
One of us is going to be unhappy.
Smart.
Yeah, it took me a while to discover this. And I feel like the fact that I've been in relationships where I've actually like repressed my own sex drive, like repressed my sexual needs, made me also like head into this direction where I really want people to know these things. Like, I hope that the sex knot can be some sort of transformative experience where you could just see all these comics and the artworks and the jokes, and at some point after reading a lot of them, you're in a different mindset. You're thinking, okay, that's actually quite funny. We can talk about this. It's normal to communicate. Exactly. I can talk about this with my partner. So my sex life started to be really good when I just learned how to communicate,
Amazing. It is almost like you do have to experience what a relationship's without having the communication, without having like the sex that you want, to be able to sort of take away and learn and be like, okay, but how am I going to make this work in the future and like have better sex? And and that's all it takes. It's literally just having that realization and then being like, how am I going to communicate what I want to my future partners?
You know, there's this makes me think of this narrative that's out there. And the narrative is like, you know, a relationship is not all about sex. That's what people say, right? So that means that if your relationship is like really nice, like you have a good time with each other and she's cute and she's beautiful, whatever, then sex is not the only thing that should matter, right? So that is kind of like the narrative that that makes people think, okay, you know, my sex life is shitty and I hate it and I hate myself, whatever. But my relationship,
whatever.
I mean, she's so nice. She wears a dress in front of my parents. I don't know. That's nice. So everything is good, but I don't know. Your life in the sheets is just shitty. So I hate that narrative. You just have to be
really
able to
damaging.
Because for people who are hypersexual, and that is a very normal thing for both men and women and different genders, mm-hmm. and to be forced into thinking that you're wrong or that there's something wrong with you because you're hypersexual or you just want to have sex all the time, it's like when people talk about their love language and how your love language must match up. My therapist the other day said, well, I think there's a lust language where you need to have a match with your partner and you need to have the same kind of lust language and the same libido and think about sex in the same similar way for a happy relationship. And I was like, oh my god, my mind is blown. Like, we talk about love language being so important, but lust language is so important for us,
so important,
and it's not talked about anywhere near as enough.
Mm-hmm. yeah
it's crazy.
Yeah,
because also you forget that but people don't realize that, like, if you're not having the sex that you want in the relationship, it ends up damaging other parts of the relationship anyway as well. Mm-hmm. And your own mental health, like not feeling like you are wanted or your sexual attraction isn't reciprocated, ends up affecting how you feel about yourself. Mm-hmm. And then actually affects how you put yourself out into the world as well. And like, it will hold you back. If you feel like you're being held back from any part of your life, especially in a relationship by your partner, it will hold you back in so many other ways in life. And it's such an important thing to address. And I know that like me and Reed are super passionate about this because we've experienced it.
Yeah, it also can really affect your partner as well. If you're hypersexual and you end up putting pressure on them and making them feel bad for not being able to match you, which is so unfair for them because it's this lust language that all they need to do is find someone who has the same libido or has the same lust language and it's the same with you. Yeah, the holding back thing, you tend to feel like you're stagnating, and then before you know it, there's not really a relationship at all. You end up resenting each other because one person's constantly pushing for it and the other person isn't getting enough.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah,
it sucks, doesn't it?
It sucks. It sucks. Yeah. I wish that we could all just have the same like sexual chemistry, but we fucking don't. Yeah. We're so complicated. It's so easy, as humans. Yeah.
Fuck number four.
The worst fuck.
Okay, yes. Love that one. you know, there have been several times where that were really bad, but it's just like with me, it's always been the combination of alcohol and sex.
Oh,
so
yes.
I remember twice that I passed out. So basically, the thing is also, I don't remember how I passed out, but what happened is that, you know, I put on a condom, I started having sex, whatever, and what happens is I wake up later on next to whoever I was with at the time, with my condom still on. We were both asleep. Apparently, we both blacked out. There was also this one time where... this was where I only blacked out, apparently. I got a blowjob from someone, and I blacked out during the blowjob. So I remember that I woke up, and she was still like lying somewhere close to my, you know, genitals, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we both blacked out now I'm thinking about it, but I mean that stuff. It's obviously, you know, whenever I have sex, I really want to finish it. You know, that's nice. So whenever I black out, that's obviously not nice. But it's always...
You feel embarrassed as well. And you're like, oh my God, the alcohol and the shame. Yeah. And like, why did I drink that much? I don't remember anything. There's a lot of lot of confusion and gray area there, especially if it's like just like a random drunk fuck or a random drunk sex act. I was trying to think of like blowjob, but for everyone.
Oh my God, I'm just thinking of how that... girl must have thought when she was going down.
She's like,
and then she looks up and you're like,
hello. Out cold.
Like fast asleep.
Yeah. Whoa, there's also another blowjob story. There was one blowjob story, this is funny, where I got a blowjob, and at some point, it was really nice, obviously, I became really nauseous.
Oh.
I don't know why. I wasn't even drinking that much at the time, but I became really nauseous. So I was like, okay, we're going to have to stop this. I just went to my room and blacked out. So it wasn't during, but it was like, it was so random.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff like that. Maybe stuff like that can happen, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it's something to do with your brain and receiving blowjobs.
Narcolepsy.
It's like, this is so good. I'm just gonna pass out.
I mean, who knows? Who knows? Yeah,
I've definitely fallen asleep while being eaten out before. Like, you know,
have you?
Yeah, because you're either so tired anyway, you're exhausted and trying to deal with stuff, and it's such a relaxing place to be in. So you're lying there, you're trying to enjoy it, and then all of a sudden you're like nodding off, trying to wake yourself up. I'm pretty sure my ex was like, "Are you asleep?" And I was like, "No."
Oh my god, that's too good.
Yeah,
maybe I have experienced someone being super sleepy whilst I was fucking them and just being like, "Are you actually fucking kidding me?"
And you get really upset about it. Obviously they don't want to fall asleep. There is another reason. They're either too exhausted or they're too relaxed or potentially intoxicated.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, I've definitely done it when high, like smoking weed, that because it just chills you out so much and you zone out a lot as well. So you're lying there and then before you know it, you're like, Oh wait, I'm back in the room. Like, we're doing this. Oh, like, my pussy being ate.
Oh, that is so funny.
Yeah. Alcohol and sex is a tricky one.
Yeah, it is tricky. It's still because it's so much part of like youth and culture, and that's what you do, especially uni life. You go out, you drink, you get fucked, you kiss people, and it helps with a lot of confidence. But so when you realize and recognize that sober sex is the best thing that can ever happen, you're like, why the fuck did I waste all that time with alcohol and drinking?
Fuck number five,
the fuck that made me.
Okay, so I have previously had some relationships where, you know, sex wasn't really a recognized thing, something that we both enjoyed as much as we wanted. And I remember that at some point I came out of a really, I would say at the end it got really toxic, like what we just talked about, the resentment. She broke up with me and I moved towards something new, not really a relationship at the time, but it was a new thing I had going on with a girl. And it was the first time, like, she was a really sexual person and I was stunned by that. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And I remember that I wouldn't say it was the first time that we had sex, but maybe one of the times that we had sex, or maybe all the sex that we had combined, it was just like, it changed me as a person, knowing that there are girls out there that are also like me, you know, that also want to try stuff. You know, obviously before I moved into this entire sex positive movement, whatever, I didn't know about all this stuff. It was only because I got into contact with it, but the fact that I shared this intimacy with her totally changed my life.
Yeah.
It completely changed my outlook on sex, that you can in fact think it's a really valuable asset to your relationship.
Yeah.
And you just have to completely communicate about this openly. I remember that she was always like, okay, what's your kink? What do you want to do? What this, what that?
Oh, amazing.
So it was she opened me up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was it ended really sadly with her dumping me. But I mean, it's okay. But I learned so much from what we had at the time. So yeah. I'm really grateful for that. I think that was what changed the game for me.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in those sorts of relationships where you're not getting the same amount of sex as you want, or like you don't feel like that sort of sex exists for you, like you come out of the relationship thinking like, am I gonna find someone that matches me? Like, is there going to be anyone out there that matches my sex drive? Am I gonna find good connected sex ever? Like, and then and then suddenly you do meet that person and it actually is just like, it's
life-changing.
It is life-changing. And it just makes you, because it not only you not only get like amazing sex for that time, but it also opens you up to feel like, actually, if I do all these things that I did, like communicate and talk to them about it, then you are going to find that with so many other people. You just need to put yourself out there and have the conversations to start off with.
Yeah I feel like there's this big fear out there that you will never get the right person. You will never find that person. But I think that's beyond sex as well. Like certain qualities that you want to your partner. You're so afraid. Like, am I ever going to find this person?
Mm-hmm. But there are so many people.
It's hard.
There's like what? How many have we got now? Like 7 billion people on the planet. Mm. And we've only, a lot of us, like we've only gone through a small portion of our life, or a portion of our life where we think that like we've met everyone and it's impossible. And I don't think it is. I think if you're looking for love and if you want it, there is love out there for you. Like the next love of your life will be literally walking out there. They're alive now. They're just waiting for you to find them. It just takes ages to find them, especially during lockdown, and especially before. I mean, what would we have done without dating apps? Dating apps have really changed on how we meet with people, but
you have to open yourself up though to it though as well. Like, it's not just about being like, okay, I'm looking for love, because you can be looking for love but
never find it.
Yeah, exactly, because you put barriers up inside, like, I'm never gonna find someone because I'm not good enough, I'm not this, I'm not that. But you have to learn to love yourself before
I don't know if I completely agree with that, though.
Get that RuPaul in there.
Do you guys really completely love yourself? Really?
Yeah, I think I might love myself more than I should.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Like, obviously, I'm crazy about you guys, you know, the work that you do for sex positivity. But, like, as a person, really loving yourself, I think it's really hard. I don't completely 100%. Think I love myself.
And also, it fluctuates as well.
Yes, that's
and I
so
think
true.
The moment that you meet people is usually those moments where you're like, I am killing it right now, and I'm, like, into myself, and, like, I'm fine by myself as well. Like, when the moments when you're not looking for anyone and you're kind of at one with yourself is more like the sort of loving yourself that you need to find someone to be, like, satisfied with your own company, I guess. I don't think fully loving yourself can be a really extremely hard task. I love myself, and days where I'm like prodding my stomach, like, ew.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can ever fully love themselves. Like, I don't love my mental health issues. Like, that's one thing I would absolutely love to cut out. But I think a lot of it is, like, loving yourself sounds easy, or it sounds hard, but it's to do with, you know, so many things about, like, self-worth and how, you know, like, how you feel about your body and your mind, and how your parents brought you up, and what your, you know, your friendship group is like, what your support network is like. And also with, like, past relationships, I think you take a lot from that. Like, if you were in a relationship with a fucking dickhead, then it's going to be hard to get that back, because you have all that trauma left over. And that's why it's so important to learn to love yourself, and to, because you're never going to always fully love yourself. There's always going to be things that you can learn to like and learn to dislike. And it is, you're right, Florence, it will fluctuate. But the best person to do that is, like, literally find a therapist that helps you learn to love yourself, because everyone deserves to love themselves. It's not arrogant. It's not selfish. It's not like, look at me, I'm amazing. It's very much like I'm just happy with who I am, and I deserve what I deserve more. I deserve better, and I deserve happiness. That is loving yourself.
That you deserve happiness is loving yourself. Also, with the whole dating thing and finding love, like, you really do have to open yourself up to meeting someone in, like, loads of different ways.
And that
could be, like, being on dating apps, but it's also just, like, making sure you're, I guess when people come into your life in, like, different ways, you have to think about it in, like, you have to be open to pursuing it in a way that isn't necessarily immediately obvious.
I think we get caught up with, like, the first date and how we see each other aesthetically and face value. But it's really interesting, you know, if you work in an office or in a place, or, you know, you go into a class, you're more than likely going to fancy someone in it, because you start to actually understand their personality. I mean, how many times have we not been attracted to someone but actually ended up attracted to them because we've looked at their personality? And I think dating really fucks that up. How many times do you look at an image and instantly go, nope, I wouldn't ever date you, or wouldn't ever think about it, when they could be the love of your life and you've just got no idea? But you also don't want to put yourself in a position where you're just constantly meeting new people and constantly putting yourself through that when they're not necessarily right. But I also think it's almost like a job interview. I know that sounds quite cold, but if the job interview isn't right for you, you would go, oh, that's a red flag, I don't think I'm going to be into it, even if it looks really great on the outside. Or vice versa, you might be like, I might give this a go for a while and then see what happens.
Yeah, I guess it puts a new layer on it when you're into sex as much as we all are.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be really you have to be really open about it immediately, don't you? Because you have to be like, okay, well,
That's what's on my dating profile. I'm like, I have a high sex drive. I'm into this, 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 and this. Like, if you're not into that, then that's not my interest.
Yeah, talking about sex on your dates, I don't know when you have to do it. I mean, I remember sometimes doing it when, you know, I was on the first date or something. But
yeah.
I think it's cool you gotta just...
I guess you just need to sense it. Like, when you're talking to someone and you know, like, okay, we've been having a cool casual chat. She already told me something personal. Maybe I can open the subject, or maybe it just evolves. I had dates where the girls started talking about it first. So
that's a really good point, because first date fucking is like really looked down upon for a lot of people. And I think for people who are hypersexual, then they need to talk about sex on the first date and have sex on the first date, and it's not a big deal. But then there are so many other people that, you know, relationships or romance is so much more important for them, and then therefore they see it as they need to wait. Maybe we're just sort of like unicorns, people who are hypersexual and who want to have sex loads, and so the rest of the world are like, oh no, you have to wait like 5 dates before you have sex with them.
Yeah there's always this waiting. I honestly never had one date that led to sex on the same day. I've always had a bunch of dates and that leads to sex. I never had a one night stand, for example.
Things
have to, there's this romanticized idea of, oh, you only sleep with someone after a certain amount of time.
From is that from the movies?
I don't know, Disney movies, I guess. You know, I mean, like, what is it from Disney movies? What social construct is not in a Disney movie?
That very true. I mean, I love Disney movies, but I'm still waiting for my motherfucking Prince Charming, and I'm like, no wait, I'm the motherfucking Prince Charming picking myself up and carrying myself into the sunset,
for fuck's sake.
This week's sex question is, please can I ask your thoughts on the below situation? I met a guy on Hinge. We dated for a bit. I communicated that I wasn't looking for a casual hookup, and he said he wanted the same. After 3 dates, we had sex, and it became apparent that he was into kink, specifically BDSM, which is something I've no experience of, but I'm open to and was excited to try with him. We continued to chat regularly, sexting included. There were a few little red flags at this stage, but I gave him the benefit of the doubt and put a pin in them. I was also entirely naive to how to spot the respectful dom, being so new to the game. Skip forward a month or so, and I woke up after a particularly long drunk, in brackets, he was sober, phone conversation with him, and he said that I'd agreed to write him a list of sexual fantasies, that it needed to be handwritten, and that I had to drop it to him in person. During this phone call, he had also suggested that he come and stay at mine the following weekend. I agreed to both. As a sub, I was very open to telling him what to do. I should also mention that I would probably have agreed to do this sober, but the fact that he chose to request this when I was drunk, in hindsight, seems off. I wrote the list of fantasies for him. It contained a lot of personal information I'd never shared with anyone. I then dropped it to him. I asked for one in return, but he preferred to tell me his as opposed to handwrite.
Ugh.
The next weekend, he came to mine and we had a lot of sex. I experimented with things I'd never tried before and it was very fun. Sadly, there are a lot more red flags and I decided to call it off.
Oh, smart girl. Yes.
I explained that I'd had fun, but some of the things that he said to me outside of the bedroom didn't sit well. Mm-hmm. His response was unapologetic and accused me of using him.
Oh,
I felt reassured that I'd escaped, that I'd had a lucky escape. A couple of weeks later, by pure chance, I was shown an Instagram account where the letter I wrote for him had been publicly posted alongside a collection of...
That is a low bar.
Alongside a collection of other letters of the exact same nature from different women.
They were posted
very recently, some whilst we'd been in contact and still on good terms. The account misleadingly implied that the letters were consensually self-submitted when I knew this wasn't the case.
Oh my god!
This raised so many problems concerning violation of consent, privacy, trust, and respect, but there was no obvious way to handle it. How would you advise approaching this, and what are the risks involved? Obviously, as women, it feels like the risks are higher due to sexual shaming, and I was very lucky to have a strong support network I could confide in. I'd be very interested to hear your thoughts, and I expect there's others who have experienced the same thing.
Wow. Oh, this poor girl. Mm. Fuck.
Wow.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
That's
mad. That's almost like revenge porn, right? It's like posting up somebody else's nudes.
Yeah.
Without permission.
I mean, it's almost worse than revenge porn because it's so explicit and personal.
And so what
she's written, but also it doesn't include her face and her name. So I guess it's not exactly the same, but she would know, and it could contain something that people could identify with. Who knows?
Absolutely. Timothy, do you have any thoughts?
Obviously, you know, the letter she wrote was very intimate. Mm. It's definitely really, really sad that this was shared online by some dude. And I'm really glad that she got out at some point, of this relationship. That must be very strong, obviously, because when I feel like perhaps if you enter like a dominant submissive relationship, it might also be hard for you as a submissive to leave that relationship, because you are the one that takes power at that moment, which is in itself, I think, something that is really strong to do, right? I honestly, I struggle with thinking about how to deal with this. Mm-hmm. I think potentially you can, it's difficult. It's made by you. It's shared. If it was art or something, you could say you're breaking my copyright or something, but it's definitely not that. Mm-hmm. Potentially equal to revenge porn. Yeah. I'm just really glad for her that her name is not mentioned there, because that would make it so much more difficult. Because right now it's like the big emotional part of it. I think like this guy is crossing so many boundaries. It's obviously so wrong what he's doing. But what are you gonna do about it? Perhaps you could try something legally, but I wouldn't know what to do.
But I was just thinking you could take that to the police, I think.
Yeah, I would say so, definitely. Because it's a copyright issue, and it's so personal and intimate, and it would be like, and I would also, it depends on this Instagram account. I would contact the Instagram account, unless you're worried that he is in charge of the Instagram account himself.
I mean, he probably is. Yeah, it sounds like it.
And I feel like you need to try and petition to get this Instagram account to be taken down and get the authorities involved. Like, what you can do is if you're in England, if you're in the UK, there is the cybercrime unit which deals with revenge porn, and all you need to do is just go online, Google it, and you can fill out an online report. This goes for any kind of potential case, and just fill in all the details, and that someone will get back to you. I mean, it does take a long time because the police are under a hell of a lot of pressure at the moment, especially with cybercrime is so rife. But I would also get in touch with Instagram. I would also message us as well, DM us, and maybe we can try our best to put it out on our stories. What I would also do is, depends how comfortable you are, but whenever, I've seen it before, whenever anyone's had something up that they're not okay with being up, they basically just outed them online and put them up on their stories and said, like, can everybody report this because this is unacceptable, and try and get the account taken down. Especially if you've already gone to this person and explained to them that it wasn't with your permission, and that there's a lot of fear that goes on there because you think like, oh well, you know, he's gonna get angry, he's gonna like tell you that you're lying. You need to stick to your guns here. And even if you gave permission for it, you can take that permission away. You can say, okay, I'm so sorry, I'm just not comfortable with that up being anymore. And you could also say, I'm going to get in touch with a lawyer if you don't get it taken down. You basically need to scare him into being like,
it sounds like
I contacted the authorities and a lawyer.
It sounds like he's been like massively abusing
his BDSM
kink, and like that is not okay. You cannot use BDSM and people's kinks and fantasies to control other people and manipulate them and gaslight them into situations, which is what it sounds like he was doing.
He's gaslighting.
This is definitely gaslighting.
Fully, which is also fucked up. That's a form of abuse. He needs to fucking go down. And it's such a shame because, like, the BDSM community, this is, you, like, people like him give the BDSM community a bad name. Yeah. And it's such a welcoming and understanding and communicative community because they have to be. Mm. And people take it for fucking granted. And in if it's a healthy sub-dom relationship, the submissive will always be in control. They will have set the limits. They will know what they're okay with and what they're not okay with, and they will test it together. And the submissive will always be the one that's ultimately in control. The mm-hmm. dominant can't go past their limits if the submissive cannot give that permission. So the fact that he's taken this over is, like, completely twisted. He must be a fucking psychopath and just, like really... uncaring of your emotions.
I think
so angering.
I'm like, I'm happy.
Yeah, we hate this guy.
Yeah, we hate this fucking guy.
Let's agree right now. We hate this fucking guy.
We hate him. But also, I was just gonna say, we're like happy that like you have reached out to us to expose this on our platform. And if anyone else has gone through the same thing, mm-hmm. like let's shout out about this person and actually get him like his accounts taken down. Yeah. And like actually. I think he deserves like some sort of legal action here. Yeah, I don't think really that does. This is okay. This is sexual assault.
Mm-hmm. It's whether or not you're in a place to mentally handle that, because that is mm-hmm. a real hard move to make.
Yeah.
But in doing so, you might empower yourself and you might help other people in the process. So mm-hmm. if you do, please DM this account to us. Please, like, if you put up a story, tag us in it so we can repost it. Tag Florence and my personal accounts in there as well, because the bigger the louder the action, the more likely we can get this person taken down. The only problem is whether or not he'll learn from his mistakes, or whether or not he'll want to learn. Yeah. And we kind of need him to really take a fucking look at himself and see what he's done is wrong. So, even if all those other girls have given him permission, even if you had given him permission, the fact that you're not comfortable with it now, he should fucking respect that and be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, this won't happen again. Yeah. And he's just a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I think it is time for us to fuck off.
Fuck off.
This has been amazing. God. Thank you, Timothy, so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
It's been
honestly,
so good.
I had a lot of fun. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes, no worries where can our curious fuckers find you? Tell them everything.
Okay, so yes, you can find me on Instagram as at bsextronaut. So like sextronaut. And you can find me on Twitter as Tim Schelhaas, which is TimSchelhaas. It's a Dutch name, sorry. You can also find, if you're interested in the designs, you can find me on Redbubble, and I got a website for clothing, which is
amazing.
Bsextronaut.com.
Amazing. Yeah, yes, get your hands on the merch.
Yeah, get the merch. It's so cool. I love my little t-shirt. I'm going to be getting some more merch soon. Wink, wink. Yeah. No, awesome. That wasn't a call for like, give it to me for free. I'm actually going to pay for it because I think it's important to pay independent people and you know, support the cause
for sure.
Awesome. I really appreciate it, honestly.
Yay.
Well, thank you everyone for listening to this episode. Give us a rating and a review and subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already.
Yes, please. The best thing you can do though, guys, is share us, is word of mouth. That spreads this podcast like a venereal disease, which we like love and hate.
And if you have a sex story or a sex question, please write in at fksgivenpodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-mm. You can follow our Instagram, C-O-M-E Curious on Instagram. Of course, I just said that. And our personal accounts, Read Amber X and Florence Bark.
And you will hear us next week.
Next week, baby. Woo! Happy lockdown. Fuck like a sextronaut.
Yeah.